In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, we must all appear before the judgment throne of Christ. And because we must not be found in sin when he returns, and above all, because he himself has shed his blood to grant us pardon and seal us for that day, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to him and to plead for the mercy he himself has bought for us. Lord Jesus Christ, our Judge and our Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Therefore, we flee to find refuge in your holy wounds, looking and pleading for your grace now and on the day of judgment.
Merciful Savior, you bore our judgment on the cross to save us from damnation. Have mercy on us and forgive us all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will and true obedience to your word, so that we may await your coming with joy, standing before you without fear, and by your grace alone, enter with you into the endless world to come. Amen.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Let all the earth fear the Lord.
Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him.
Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord,
who stand by night in the house of the Lord.
Lift up your hands to the holy place,
and bless the Lord.
May the Lord bless you from Zion,
he who made heaven and earth.
Word without end. Let us pray.
Lord Jesus Christ, you reign among us by the preaching of your cross. Forgive your people their offenses, that we, being governed by your bountiful goodness, may enter at last into your eternal paradise. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the last Sunday of the church year is from the book of the prophet Malachi, the third chapter. Your words have been hard against me, says the Lord, but you say, how have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge or walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. Those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possessions. And I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord of hosts is with us.
The God of Jacob is our fortress.
God is our refuge and strength.
Very present help in trouble.
Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way.
Though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea.
Though its waters roar and foam.
Though the mountains tremble as swelling.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God.
The holy habitation.
God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved.
God will help her when the morning comes.
The nations rage, the kingdoms totter.
He utters his voice, the earth melts.
The Lord of hosts is with us.
The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Come, behold the works of the Lord.
How he has brought desolations on the earth.
He makes wars cease to the end of the earth.
He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots to fire.
Be still and know that I am God.
I will be exalted among nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us.
The God of Jacob is our fortress. Glory be to the Father.
Hosts is with us.
The God of Jacob is our fortress.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, the first chapter. The Father has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. In him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 23rd chapter. There followed Jesus a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, 'He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one.' The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, 'If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself.' There was also an inscription over him, 'This is the King of the Jews.' One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, 'Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us.' But the other rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we, indeed, justly. For we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.' And he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And he said to him, 'Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith with the repeated refrain, "I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting." He shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
As the lightning flashes from east to west, the Son of Man will come in his Father's glory with his holy angels to reward everyone according to what each has done. He will come like a thief in the night. One will be taken and the other left.
I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
The skies will disappear with a roar, the elements will disintegrate in the heat, and the earth and everything on it will be burned.
I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
He will send his angels with a loud trumpet call and gather his chosen from the four winds. We will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air.
I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
We will all stand before Christ's judgment seat. Each of us will give an account of himself to God.
I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels.
I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
He will say to those on his right, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you for the creation of the world.
I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
He will change our lowly bodies to be like his own glorious body. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
We look for new heavens and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Then the righteous shall shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom, and we shall be with the Lord forever, whose kingdom shall have no end.
I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Great, we confess, is the mystery of our faith. Jesus died.
Jesus died.
Jesus rose.
Jesus rose.
Jesus will come again.
Jesus will come again.
I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Come with me, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text, the account of our Lord's crucifixion from the Gospel of Luke, especially the last prayer of the repentant thief and Jesus' words to him, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And our Lord replied, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is our text. How will it all turn out in the end? How will it turn out? That question swirls around in our minds. How will it turn out, this pain, this conflict, this depression, this illness? How will the chaos, the job, the marriage, the family, our nation, this year, my life, how will it all turn out in the end? If we try to stare directly into the end, if we try to stare directly into the last things with the naked eye, to look at death, judgment, heaven, and hell, we'll go blind or we'll go mad. We need some other way to look toward the end. Jesus provides it. He teaches us to approach the end through his cross. See how the crucifixion stands between you and what lies ahead. See how it stands between you and the future. And it enables you, it enables us to go into the future with hope and with confidence. Jesus shows us how it will all turn out in the end. It'll end like this, with crucified Jesus reigning as king, the one who was put to death for you and me, with the scars to prove it, reigning over us forever and ever. But it doesn't always look like it's going to end that way. I think that you probably, like me, for your own life and your daily activities, I imagine that you have a bunch of different endings that play through your mind, usually bad ones. Too often we live in dread of tomorrow. Too often we fear what the morning will bring. We see only suffering, only pain, more sickness, and more death. How could it end any differently? St. Luke takes us to our Lord's crucifixion. And I'll be honest, when we stare into our Lord's crucifixion at first, it doesn't look like there's any other ending there. The scene is filled with suffering. Not just physical suffering, but you heard it in the reading. The verbal mocking, the shameful abuse. Everyone watching thought they knew how it would end. The crowds, the religious leaders, the soldiers, they all thought they knew. The horror of what Christ goes through, as well as the pain and suffering that we endure, it makes you want to close your eyes and walk away. But Jesus invites you today to come closer, to lean in to the cross, and see how it ends. As we approach the cross today, we begin where Luke begins, at a distance. Jesus is stumbling on the way of tears. His strength is so far gone that he's no longer able to carry his own crossbeam. That's when they press into service Simon of Cyrene to take up the cross after Jesus. If we follow along, we stand among the people who are lining his way, a great multitude, it says, including many women. They are mourning and lamenting for Jesus. The tears are flowing. They think they know how it ends, that it ends with the nails and the cross and the last breath, and all is over. Jesus tells them not to weep. He tells them not to mourn over him, but lament, he says, and cry over your own sin. That's why he's headed to the cross. On this way to the cross, we watch as two others, two criminals, notorious, are crucified with him at the place called the Skull. It is a fitting place. There they crucified him, and the criminals one on his right and one on his left. They hang them up to die. Public humiliation and shame. But something unexpected happens. In that moment, Jesus prays. He prays for those who crucify him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can you imagine having the presence of mind in a moment like that to pray for the ones who are mocking you and reviling you and driving spikes into your hands? Jesus does. With all the activity going on below, with all the things happening at the foot of the cross, his prayer rings out, a prayer for forgiveness for theirs, for yours, and for mine. He prays from the cross. Standing near the cross, we see his garments being divided. We hear the religious leaders scoffing. He saved others. Let him save himself if he's the Christ of God, his chosen one. Do you hear the challenge they make? The challenge they give. If Jesus is the Christ, then he would come down from the cross. If he is truly the Messiah, then he would save himself. That's what's at stake in this bloody mess. The claims of Jesus are being tested. What kind of Christ hangs on a cross and suffocates to death? And then we move closer. And now we stand right near the foot of the cross. We can see the soldiers mocking Jesus. They draw near, they lift a spear with a sponge of cheap wine to his lips. Wine, like Jesus changed the water into at the wedding of Cana. Only that was the best, and now this is the cheap stuff at the end. They offer him wine, almost like they're offering something to a king or to a god, except they don't mean it. It's all a joke. The inscription above his head reads, "The King of the Jews," and the soldiers think that he's a sad excuse for a king. And then Luke takes us even closer. He lifts us up to be with Jesus and the two criminals crucified with him. Suspended between heaven and earth, Luke lets us listen in on their conversation. In the middle of that pain and suffering, when we wonder how it all will end, when they wonder how it all will end, there is a moment of clarity, a moment of truth. Who is Jesus, and how will it end? It's a personal challenge. One of the two criminals rejects Jesus, repeats the challenge of the religious rulers. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other one, the other criminal, who has lived a life that's been terrible, a life of hatred toward his neighbors, of devastation and ruin, the other criminal believes and trusts in Jesus. He believes the impossible. Moments, perhaps, away from dying, certainly no more than minutes or hours, he believes the impossible. He believes the inscription written above Jesus' head, the King of the Jews. He believes the statements made in jest and mockery, that this is the Christ. He believes the offering made on the end of that spear, that it was offered to one who is both God and King. And he believes that there will be a different ending. Through the pain, through the suffering, he believes that Jesus really is a king. And he believes that Jesus is really entering into a kingdom through the cross. And so he cries out, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Dear friends, what could be a better prayer for us as we contemplate the end? And then to pray with that repentant criminal, "Jesus, remember me. Remember me now. Remember me as you are in your kingdom. Remember me as you reign as king." Because Jesus is king. He is king on the cross. And he is king now. And he is the king who will return again in glory. And he is reigning right there from the cross. And he is reigning over us now, and he will reign when he comes again in glory with a gracious reign and rule, bringing salvation to a repentant criminal in his dying hour. If you had seen that criminal throughout his life, maybe even as long ago as when he was a child, certainly when he was in the thick of his criminality, you would not have believed how it would end for this one. You might have predicted the cross. You might have predicted crucifixion and suffering and death. But you could not have predicted what Jesus says. Today, you will be with me in paradise. That repentant thief hears how it will end. Not like the world would have imagined, not like he would have imagined, certainly not like he deserved, but as the king decrees, as the king declares. Right here, at the heart of the crucifixion, Jesus reveals the heart of his Father. He is not coming down from the cross, not without dying upon it, not without shedding his blood for you and for me. And why not? Because he didn't come to save himself, but he came to save you. To save you now and at the end. He came to die under the punishment of all sin, that he might open the kingdom of heaven to all believers, including you. And so Jesus turns to that repentant thief. He reveals his gracious rule. He says, "Today, today you will be with me in paradise." Because death cannot rob Jesus of his kingdom. In fact, Jesus is the one who robs death of its power by dying, and then by rising from the dead to rule over all things. Today is the end of the church year. What a beautiful thing it is for us that as the church year ends, we receive this vision of Jesus. Not of Jesus simply ruling on his throne over a new creation, but Jesus ruling from the cross, ruling with grace and with mercy and with forgiveness and with that promise of paradise. Ruling even in the midst of suffering and of pain, his and ours. Until that day when Jesus returns and restores all creation, this is how we see him. We see him through pain and suffering. We see him through tears and sorrow. We see him in the midst of our sins and of death. But we see him still as our King. I know sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes the pain is great. Sometimes the sorrow is deep. Sometimes we find it challenging to see Jesus as our King. But he is. He reigns from his cross, and he reigns through his church. And he reigns here until he comes again. And even when we find the pain great, even when we find the suffering deep, even when we find it hard to believe, he invites us to come closer in. He invites us to lean into his cross. He invites us to listen to that word that he speaks. The word that he speaks in the midst of our broken and fragmented lives. To you, to your church, to your world, his promise: I will never leave you. I will not forsake you. I have not forgotten you. I have offered my life for you. And even though it is hard, I am graciously ruling over all things. Our Lord Jesus Christ reigns as King over a kingdom which will never fade or pass away. A kingdom that has already begun and comes to us now, but will flower in the fullness of time when he comes again. So yes, I know it's hard. I wish that I could give you today the glory of heaven right here. But I can give you Jesus, crucified, risen, and reigning. We have only a glimpse of the promised end of all things. And that glimpse is brief. It is filled with pain. The pain of his suffering and dying. But it is enough to sustain you and me. Jesus is here. He is bringing God's grace to you, even when you are weary and suffering. And what he says, his word, will determine how things are forever. You will be with me in paradise. That's how it ends. That's how it ends for those who follow Jesus as King. That's how it ends for sinners who cling to the one who brings forgiveness by his death. That's how it all will turn out in the end, when he will say to us, "Today, today, you will be with me in paradise." Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
The Thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
One note I forgot to mention at the beginning of service, that we are receiving the benevolence offering today if you wish to bring something forward during communion to the plates on the sides. Let us now pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Christ, our King, live forever. You have made peace for us by the blood of your cross. You have pleaded with the Father for our pardon, and through you all things are reconciled to God. By your Spirit, lead us to endless joy and thanksgiving for this redemption. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Christ, our King, you have delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into your kingdom. In you we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Guard your congregation and your pastors. Rule over your church with the forgiveness of sins, and work all things together for her good, until at last we rise with you, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Christ, our King, through the womb of the Virgin Mary, you entered our world. Come, we pray, and bless our living nativity. Unite us as we prepare. Provide us with all that is needed to carry it through, and use us to make your name known. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Christ, our King, by your atoning death, we are spared as sons and counted as treasured possessions of the Father. Bless all expectant mothers, including Laura and Kay. Bless all Christian homes, that as the children of your kingdom, we would grow in the fear of the Lord and honor your name, serve you faithfully, and walk confidently through this life until all is revealed at the last day. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Christ, our King, let the earth fear you, and all the world's inhabitants stand in awe of you. For you alone are the King of kings and Lord of lords. Preserve those who fear you and serve you in this world, and those who maintain good government among us. Above all, come quickly, Lord Jesus, for your kingdom is not of this world, and our citizenship is with you in paradise. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Christ, our King, have mercy and deliver us from all evil. For our sins, we honestly deserve only condemnation and calamity. Yet you have remembered us from your cross and given us access to the Father in your name. Deliver the troubled, the sick, and the dying. and preserve them in your kingdom forever. We especially pray for Raylan, Brenda, Caden, Braden, Al, Thomas, Joel, Diane, Phil, Amara, Marilyn, Catherine, Anne, Cynthia, Wayne, Heather, Vivian, Jim, John, Kay, John, Randy, Rosemarie, Nancy, Ed, Stan, Luann, and Rick and Teresa, as well as Karen, Rick, and Andrea, who are homebound. Lord, in your mercy. O Christ, our King, you sacrificed yourself to save us, for you are indeed the Christ of God, his chosen one. Your body was given for us and your blood shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Bring us to your holy supper, mourning our own sins, that we would receive your kingdom in faith and be strengthened to life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. O Christ, our King, in your blood the saints of all ages wash their robes and find entrance to paradise with you. Bring us also with them out of death and the grave and into resurrection and eternal life at the last day, when we will see you crowned with glory, for you are the Lamb who was slain and now lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit forever. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me.
In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup,
we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Blessed is the one who is invited to the marriage feast of the Lamb.
Come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Reading today is from Isaiah 65. Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall I be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For a young man shall die 100 years old, and a sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit it. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of the tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall all enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. For they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord, and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat like an ox. Dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Behold, I create the new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. O Christ, our life, our Lord, our love, we thank you for coming to us veiled in bread and wine. Let what our bodies have received produce faith and love in our souls, that you may be pleased with us when you come unveiled to judge us and never to leave us again.
Come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with us spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.